Let us now open God's word, and the scripture reading is from the historical book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23, moving history that David is pursued in the wilderness after he has even first freed the city of his people, Keilah. So 1 Samuel 23 is our Bible reading, and also we will focus in the preaching on that. Now they told David, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are rubbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.' But David's men said to him, 'Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand.' And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." When Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, had fled to David to Keilah, he had come down with an ephod in his hand. Now it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." And Saul summoned all the people to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then said David, "O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, the God of Israel, please tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph of Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh, on the hill of Hachilah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire, to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go, get more sure, know and see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he is very cunning. See therefore, and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among of all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. And Saul and his men went to seek him. And David was told, so he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land." So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, that place was called the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of Engedi. Thus far the reading of God's word, and may God's word be blessed unto us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, at one time or another, we all have played hide and seek. And then some have to be careful not to be seen. Others are all eyes and ears looking out for those who are hiding. The children also here in our midst know about that game. It is an exciting game of playing hide and seek. However, when you are in an unknown territory, an unknown terrain, you have to be careful not to get lost. You also have to look out for dangerous spots, maybe even animals, wild animals. So with hide and seek, you should not only hide or seek for the other, you also have to be alert for the dangers around you. Well, hiding and seeking for a good spot is always a nice game. But it can be also necessary for survival, and that is the situation in our text. In Samuel 23, King Saul was trying to find David. David was hiding for him. You know what prompted him to do that. Saul had been after his own honor. Saul wanted to have a God after his own heart. And therefore God had left him. David, however, rejoiced in being a child after God's heart. And so God was with him. He was David's strong helper and refuge. So this morning we focus on why David landed now in that very stressful position in 1 Samuel 23. In brief, it is the Lord trained him. The Lord trained him to be his king over his people Israel. And as such, David had to reflect the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And so the message this morning is, in his spiritual training school, David learns that God is his hiding place. And we see then the secret, the discovery, and the protection of David's hiding place. So the message, I repeat, in his spiritual training school, David learns that God is his hiding place. First the secret of his place, hiding place, then the discovery of his hiding place, but then in the end also the protection of David's hiding place. Congregation, our passage tells that King Saul is very determined to kill David. Because of David's growing popularity, Saul distrusted and envied him. At all costs, he was using all means and possibilities to hunt him down. And that brought David in that critical circumstance we have read about. One is the episode at Keilah. David had liberated that city from the Philistines. But news about that rescue, David's rescue operation, that news had reached King Saul. And then he immediately sets out to capture David there. However, even without our modern means like drones at the time, David's intelligence service worked also very well. He heard about it, the new threat. He immediately called Abiathar the priest. He was in David's camp and had taken the ephod, as we read. Now, at that time, the ephod was a means through which the Lord could be consulted. And that's what Abiathar the priest did. The Lord gave David a message he didn't want to hear, though. If he would stay in that city, Keilah, that place would become his prison. It would be even his death sentence. That must have been a bitter pill to swallow for David. Mind you, he was even the newly anointed king over Israel, but now his own people would hand him over to Saul. And so David was forced to leave a comfortable place and again hide in the wilderness. There was a thicket area of tall grass, brushwood, and small trees. Hard to find paths that were meandering through that hidden valley wilderness. Well, when on last Sunday evening I participated in a hike at one of the parks here in Quapel Valley, here north of the city, then David came to my mind. I saw him and his men, as it were, scurrying away under the coverage of a much, much denser thicket. For the wilderness of Ziph wasn't only larger, but it also bordered at strong rock formations. And those were almost impenetrable caves. Scripture, you know, text calls them strongholds. Now that vast area, therefore, that part of the wilderness was an excellent place for hideouts, for fugitives. Well, Saul heard that David had escaped, and so he canceled the expedition. But he remained on the lookout for him, but his people couldn't find him, couldn't locate him. Where Saul failed, his son Jonathan did not. Somehow, Jonathan found out David's whereabouts. And Jonathan looked him up, not as a spy to report him to his father Saul. He was visiting him as he came as a friend. He comforted and strengthened David. And Jonathan did it in such a manner that the actual secret of David's hiding place was revealed. How? Jonathan encouraged David to put his confidence in God. We read, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear the hand of Saul, my father. He shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you." Saul, my father, also knows that very well. Those words show, beloved, that through the Holy Spirit, Jonathan saw God's plan in both of their lives. And different from his father Saul, Jonathan was content with the position in which God had placed him under David. So Jonathan, beloved, through his friend, the Lord taught David to be patient in the deep crisis of his life as a fugitive. So David shouldn't seek his shelter with people. He shouldn't have his trust in a city with strong walls and closed gates. No, God was his sure protection. No matter how extreme the heavy crisis was, he had to suffer. The Lord would be faithful to him. The Lord will keep his promise. The Lord would make him the king over his people Israel. Now, why in the world did David get such a wonderful protection from God? Was David such an extraordinary fellow? No, the reason is different. Beloved, when we read and listen to Bible histories, when we listen to a history like we have in front of us this morning, then we are concerned with special history. The history in Scripture is redemptive history. It is the history in which God reveals himself in Christ as the Savior of the world and as the all-powerful God. He then takes powerless man into his service. You see that time and again. God is the all-powerful God, takes powerless man into service. Last Sunday we saw that, how God did it in calling Abraham. And so in the history of 1 Samuel 23, the secret of God's plan is that God involved David in saving the world. God involves his people, and at this time David, saving the world. In our Bible passage of this morning, then we need to see that with David, God's plan had come at a very important stage. For David was chosen to be the first king that would show the glorious rule of Christ, our Lord and King. Yet, when God's people reflect Christ, they will do so in a suffering world. Sorrows and hardships, and that's still true for us today, sorrows and hardships, setbacks, disappointments, will come on the way of God's servants, and often even in very dramatic and yet difficult situations, hard to endure. Remember, Abraham had to leave a comfortable life in Ur of Babylon. Instead, he had to endure the hardships of a nomad. God sent Moses from a royal life at Pharaoh's palace. Moses was sent into the desert, had to lead a desert life. He had to take care of stubborn sheep in a dreary land, even for 40 years. And then David. He was loaded with God's glorious promises. But David had to run for his life from one inhabitable place to another. Great hardships. And what suffering. Yet, congregation, those hardships, so to speak, form a training ground for God's servants. In God's school, they were and they are trained for their glorious position in God's service. And that glory will come through suffering. Well, that's the secret of David's running for his life from one hiding spot to another place. Through God's hand, and then that is through God's Spirit, Jonathan encouraged then David in keeping his help and strength in God. But when, in that very critical and stressful situation, the two friends had to part from each other, they made a covenant, we read. That means that they assured each other, we are safe in God's hand. God is our true shelter. Congregation, through God's hand, and that is through God's word, God now addresses us. Also through this passage, God addresses us and calls us to be Jonathans to each other in the hardships, troubles, adversities of life. Encourage and strengthen each other in those difficulties of life. Be patient students in God's school. Encourage each other to witness where your help and strength is. In all situations of life, especially in times of hardships, and they can be severe, heartbreaking, but be assured, you will receive your glory in God's kingdom. God will deliver. He will deliver. And so we have come to our second point, the discovery of David's shelter. How secure is David's hiding place in his concrete circumstances, hiding in those strongholds? Life there continued to be a great challenge because Saul didn't sit idle. He continued to search for David. In that search, he received even unexpected help, the help from the Ziphites. They lived in the area of David's hiding. Well, those Ziphites would know the hiding places of the desert even better than David did. And therefore, Saul couldn't get better spies for his secret service. And indeed, the Ziphites briefed him on David's exact location. The king only had to come along with them and they would deliver David into his hands. Brothers and sisters, let us now not criticize the people, the beginning of Keilah, now not either the Ziphites. But these people acted as loyal subjects to King Saul. He was the anointed king, remember? The one in the wrong is clearly King Saul here. For he wanted to eliminate David, though Saul knew very well that David would replace him as king. Of course, also the people in Keilah and the Ziphites, they can't be totally be excused for their actions. David doesn't do that either. If you read Psalm 54 that refers to this history in 1 Samuel 23. Nevertheless, the responsible one for getting rid of David was King Saul. In fact, our Bible passage clearly shows that he made spies of his people, even better spies of his people, to pursue his evil schemes. He wanted to catch and kill an innocent man. And with this Judas scheme, King Saul is condemned. But now, with the Ziphites on board, Saul seems to succeed. But David's latest location in the wilderness of Maon was reported to Saul. He moved to those cliffs. And Saul was sure, he was now sure of his cause. He grimly tackled it. And his tactic was powerful. And he found David. One wonders now what would have gone on in David's mind. For just recently, God, through Jonathan, very convincingly had reassured David, "Never will my father lay his hand on you." But now, Saul found him. He was even very close on David's heels. What affliction indeed. Had David's trust in the Lord been too great? Wouldn't it have been better if he would have taken matters in his own hand? He now seemed hopelessly done. Beloved, it warrants to repeat that Scripture shows that God leads his people, his servants, through a training process of trials. Again, think of Abraham. He also, you remember that he was at a certain time instructed to sacrifice his own son. Joseph. Joseph was put in an Egyptian prison, an Egyptian prison, before he would become the sustainer, the redeemer of Jacob's family, providing them with food. Now, we already referred to Moses receiving his training in the wilderness. Well, the purpose of God's training school is to rely on his help, that we take refuge with the Lord. Now, how did David do that? Now, he experienced again the heavy pinch of great trouble. Would he passively wait for God to lift him out of his plight? No. God's promise of help should not make us inactive. And David didn't do that at all. Look, he tried his utmost to escape from Saul's hand. He managed to make some diverting moves. And for that, he made use of the possibilities offered the wilderness. And for a time, David was successful. But in the end, he failed. He came into a snag. Saul went along one side, we read, David and his men along the other side of the mountain. Things have never been so critical. There was no way out anymore. It was only a matter of moments, and Saul would have caught him. How in that critical situation, the Lord made him painfully feel how powerless David was. Oh, if it had depended on him, on all his clever tactics, he would have been caught and killed. But even worse things would have happened. Remember, beloved, remember that the Bible tells us of God's plan of redemption. Now, if Saul would now have been killed. If Saul would have killed David here, then the promise given to David couldn't have been fulfilled. Then Saul and the enemy of God would have triumphed. The enemy of God would have won. For indeed, who actually was behind Saul's evil schemings? Well, in passages like 1 Samuel 23, we need to think of the ongoing struggle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, Genesis 3. Or also think of Revelation 12, the dragon, God's enemy. Oh, beloved, office bearers, teachers, parents, brothers and sisters, show with scripture stories such as in 1 Samuel 23, show that if David would have fallen into Saul's hands, then the devil, the dragon of Revelation 12, would have won over Christ. And then not only David would have been lost, but the road would have been blocked for the salvation of all God's people. And for us too. So in order to understand why during our life God trains us through suffering, let's again consider why God trained David here. In all circumstances, David needs God to have as his hiding place, his deliverer. Off and on, everyone will have to suffer crisis in life. However extreme the crisis will become, have God as your hiding place. Keep your eyes on him as your Savior. And yes, please, don't have Christ in view only for the end of your life. No, every day, give him his trust. Everything, every day, show that you need him as refuge and deliverer. Scripture makes very clear in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 5, for example, that God's opponent still prowls around like a roaring lion, also today. He tries to snatch away from us our life and safety in Christ. Be alert. Often he is on our heels. And a similar truth is also written in 1 John 5. There, the apostle of Christ says that we are still pursued by the schemes of the evil ruler of this world. That ruler is, again, Satan. He wants to stop our witness of confessing and showing our Christian certainty and identity with God. Like he got hold of Saul, he is still trying also to get hold of us, God's people. But know for sure, beloved, your faithful and trustful Christian life will cause opposition, hardship in our dire, ungodly culture around us. Now, in such a world, we need to show that our refuge is with God in Christ. In the sufferings we will meet in this world, let's remember, God trains us to hold on to him, that we persevere, that we have patience waiting on him, knowing as Paul says in Romans 5, knowing that endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. That's the strength and glory of God's saints. We are protected. We are set free from the clutches of Satan's evil claws. And that's what we confess. For example, Lord's Day 1, we are set free. We are delivered from the tyranny of the devil. Like David, God makes us escape our fierce enemy. So we have come to our last point. Congregation, we read that David escapes. And he escapes in a remarkable way. In order to rescue David, the Lord makes use of Israel's enemies, the Philistines. They now grab their chance. God had, Saul had, King Saul rather, Saul had left the country unprotected in his attempts to apprehend David. So now the Philistines, they fight Saul. Unwittingly, they, so to speak, are but puppets in God's hand. Scripture reveals, especially also through the prophets, that God, even by directing his enemies, God sends deliverance to his people, as he did here to David. And therefore, know that a holy and sovereign God always remains in control. He rules everything, even the enemies of his church. And that truth of Scripture is confirmed throughout history, the Bible, but also church history. At this very moment, even, we may witness God's preserving and protecting power being gathered in his house. Despite of all the persecution, opposition, severe crisis, even martyrdom, the Lord is shown to protect Christ's church as his hiding place. And this truth is expressed at the close of our text. We read that the place of David's deliverance received a special name. Older translations, for example, the King James Version, reads that the name is Selah Hamalakot, a Hebrew word that literally means the rock of divisions. So this shows, that name shows, God makes the divide between his people and his enemies. Last Sunday also we could see that Abraham was called in order to show the divide between God's people and the devil's children. So here too, God makes the divide between his people and his enemies, between godly and ungodly people. Today, that divide happens now as well in the Church of Christ. While a lot of people today also have gods after their own hearts, today, also God makes a divide with us who are here together and having indeed a heart that we love God. This place where you are now is the safe spot against the wiles of the devil. We will be victorious, and therefore, what an important place the church has in our post-Christian world. It is the rock of escape. For us, God kept and still keeps the way open to take shelter with him, to abide with him in prayers, psalms, hymns, singing spiritual songs. And then also, you don't keep silent about God's work of deliverance. Scripture preserved a psalm of David that worships God because of help, protection, and deliverance. Again, I refer to Psalm 54. God had trained him to say, God is my helper. God is my strong man. The Lord is the upholder of my life. And a similar psalm is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very, very present help in trouble. Beloved, week in, week out, seek your rest and peace in worship of your God and Savior. Live as a child after God's heart. That grace was given to David, and he escaped the devil's snare. And so do you in the spiritual training school of life, where in his church you have the loving God as your helper strong. Amen. Or a song of application it is. Our song of application is, first of all, the prayer, and then after that, hymn number 244. So I first lead you in the prayer of application. O God of our salvation, we thank you that you have enrolled us in your spiritual school. Here you train and test us to learn, to grow, to endure as your chosen children. We confess that your training can be hard for our sinful flesh. We can be aloof, sometimes unyielding. Yet once again, you have taught us that being under your discipline is very much needed for our spiritual and eternal well-being. Through the hardships and sufferings in life, you make us feel that you are our true Father, dealing with us as our earthly fathers would do. We thank you that in your word, you assure us that your training and discipline will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness through which we may enter your kingdom. We thank you that we cherish this truth and have this confidence through the Spirit of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.